In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The second reading from the epistles was from Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 1, and that reading is appointed for a certain feast of the Theotokos, and that's because it's talking about the Old Testament temple and the Virgin Mary having given birth to Christ and bore him in her womb. Is spoken of in the tradition of the church as the Ark of the Covenant or the Holy of Holies because she became a living temple. And that passage begins with a statement that it says that even in the first covenant, there were certain ordinances of worship. Well, if you've been in the Sunday school class, the adult Sunday school class, we've been studying the book of Hebrews, and Father McKinney pointed out that when it says, well, even the first covenant had these ordinances of worship, what does that imply? Well, it implies that that's also true now. And it talks about, particularly, it says, for a tabernacle was prepared, the first part, in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread. When it talks about the table and the showbread, the word showbread in Greek literally means the bread of prothesis. Well, if you know anything about the structure of the services and the various things that are inside the altar area, we have a table, the table of prothesis, it's often called. And on that table is where we offer the bread, which part of which becomes the Eucharist later on in the service. The word prothesis means set before. It's an offering that's set before God. The Hebrew word literally means set before the face of God, and that's the reason why the best translation, the King James translation, can come up with is showbread, because this is bread that represents the people of Israel and is set before God to show him or for him to see. In the Old Testament, there were 12 loaves, and every Friday, they would bake 12 new loaves, and they would replace the ones that had been there the previous week. And then those loaves were eaten by the priest, and because they were holy, they had to be eaten in the temple. But again, 12 loaves representing each of the 12 tribes. So the entire people of Israel were set before God as a remembrance, symbolically representing the fact that they were being prayed for, and we were asking God to bless and to be merciful and to protect those people. The fact that the bread was replaced every week, the fathers tell us, signified the succession of faithful. The faithful people, priests, prophets, teachers, and of course in the New Testament, bishops, who faithfully serve God, and as they finish the course of their ministry in this life and go on to their reward, they're replaced by the next generation, as it is to this very day. So in every generation, God has fulfilled what we've asked him to, which is to be merciful, to protect, and to bless his people. But each one of us are one of those breads that set before God, and throughout our life we serve him, and then we go on for our reward if we are faithful. Well, in the New Testament, we also have bread that we offer. As a matter of fact, we don't have 12 separate loaves, but on the cross of Medea, in addition to the lamb itself, there are 12 commemorations that are made. There's the Theotokos, and in addition to that, we have what's often referred to as the nine ranks of saints, but they're not nine different kinds of saints. St. John the Baptist is commemorated, the prophets, the apostles, the hierarchs, the martyrs, the ascetics, the unmercenary healers, the saints of the day, and also the saint whose liturgy is celebrated. And having nine ranks, in another sense, signifies the nine ranks of angels. So even the angels are represented on the discos. And then we also have a commemoration for the living and the dead. So that comes out to 12. In Russian practice, we use 5 loaves at the proskuneti that we take these particles and the lamb from. And that represents the 5 loaves with which Christ fed the multitude. And that signifies the fact that no one goes away hungry, that Christ is sufficient for each and every one of us. And at the center of the discos, we have the lamb, which is taken from only one loaf. It doesn't matter how big of a service, how many people may be present, there's only one loaf that lamb can be taken from. When I was in Russia in 2007, serving at Christ the State Cathedral with, you know, I don't know how many bishops, priests, deacons, and thousands of people, they had a lamb that was about like this big, and it was from one loaf. And the reason for that is as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." So even in the lamb itself, the fact that it's taken from one bread represents the fact that we are all united in faith. And so each and every member of the church, both in heaven and on earth, are represented on the discos, and we set that before. And that service that this is done is before the liturgy. It's called proskuneti, but it's also sometimes referred to as the service of prothesis. Both words have similar meanings. So we are to set one another before the Lord in prayer. And each one of us as Orthodox Christians has a great privilege and a duty to pray for those that we love and those that that have asked for our prayers. And you have the opportunity to do that in the commemoration loaves that we set back on that bank table. Now, you submit a list of names, but as I've said many times, you shouldn't do that as if, well, here's a list of names, the priest will pray for him and I'm done. You should be praying for those names. If you've got 1,000 names in your commemoration book, before you submit it to the priest, you should be reading all those names, not just expecting the priest to read it. You're the one that's making the offering, and the priest is praying with you. He actually places it on the discos on your behalf, but you're the one that's offering that bread. And when the priest takes the particles out of that bread that you've submitted, he asks that God will remember those that offered it and those for whose sake it was offered. And then he reads the names that you've submitted. And then at the end of the liturgy, after everyone's communed, one of the last things that's done with the chalice before it's put back on the table of prothesis or oblation is the deacon or the priest takes all those particles from the various commemorations and puts them into the chalice and says, "By thy precious blood, O Lord, wash away the sins of those here commemorated through the intercessions of thy saints." So this is a great sacred blessing and obligation that each and every one of you have, and it's something that we should all take advantage of, and it's a very holy thing. It's one of the reasons why that bread, when you get it back, is to be treated as a holy thing. It's not just something else, and that's one of the reasons why I've been telling the altar servers, and I'll just use this occasion to remind them not to put the cross for on the table with all the other food. The problem with that is that we should not just treat it as one more thing along with the avocado dip and the salsa and the chips that we've got some prosper and we put it in our bowl and eat it with everything else. The prosper is a holy thing and it should be treated as holy. And when you take it home, you should cut it up and let it dry out. And every morning, you should take a little bit of that prosper along with holy water. And that's a way that you continue to participate in the liturgy when you're not able to attend. And you can continue to remember those whose names you submitted. And just as that bread is different from all other bread and it's to be treated as holy, we as Christians are like those breads that are to be different from everyone else. We're not to be like everyone else and do all the stuff that they do, but we are to live a holy life. And so we need to live worthy because every member of this parish, all of you, are on that discos. All of you will be going to the chalice, and we will be praying for you, and we will ask that God will wash away your sins in that chalice. But you have to live the life of repentance to actually have the beneficial effect of that. And so that's what we're all called to. We should remember each other at the liturgy, partake worthily of the liturgy, not just stand back and watch it, not just submit names to be commemorated, but also to partake of that one bread that we all are, and also to let our whole life be an offering to God. Our whole life is like that bread that is set before God and in turn is replaced by others when we go on to our reward. God is faithful to us. God will be faithful to the next generation. God was faithful to those that preceded us. And so let us be aware of the line that we stand in and live and step up to the plate and live worthy of that calling. Amen.